In, I guess we ought to turn into the Bible here. Pastor Josh is the pastor. And turn with me to the book of Hebrews. If you're sitting next to a deacon, help him find it. It's in the New Testament, even though it says Hebrews. It sounds like it's in the Old Testament. Yeah. But in Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, I love to hear the rustling of the leaves, those Bible pages. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You know, that happens. People leave us. People say, well, I got offended or whatever. But look at this in verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The Bible says to exhort one another. And really, to exhort means to encourage and strengthen and help one another. As my wife and I, daily as we're together like 24/7. We've been in hundreds of hotels and traveling and airplanes and, thousands and thousands of miles, and we're together all the time. And what helps our relationship is that we're always exhorting and encouraging each other. At breakfast this morning, she was exhorting me and encouraging me. And that's what a church is to do. So when you come to church, it's not just the preaching, it's not just the teaching, it's not just the singing, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. A dear friend of mine said, be kind to everyone. Everyone's having a tough time. We all have trials, we all have burdens, we all have heartaches. We've all been through heartbreaks. So be kind to one another. And that's the kind of church Spokane Baptist Church is. Exhort one another. Encourage one another. Now turn with me back to the Old Testament, to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Back there, Joshua, Judges. Keep going to the right. 1 Kings. Go past 2 Kings. Turn back. Get to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, I don't know where you are. I hardly know where I am. 1 Kings, and chapter 19. Let me share this with you. I've been waiting what I'm going to share with you now is important. It's really for the church, and it's been on my heart for several weeks. The messages that I preach, and as you know, those of you that know me, I'm a different kind of preacher. And the way I get my messages, I go to the mountain. The message in the 10:30 service, I received on the mountain. And then yesterday when we were flying, God was working my heart over, and tears began to come down my face, and I was kind of embarrassed because the plane was packed, and I was hoping that my wife would think it was just my allergies, but it wasn't. It was just going through the message that the Lord put on my heart for Spokane Baptist Church on the mountain. And God spoke to me on the mountain, and so then fleshed it all out, and then I'm going to share that at 10:30 with you today. And God spoke to me actually several weeks ago. And I don't want to meddle with Spokane Baptist Church. I'm not here to cause trouble. I know that it's hard to believe. I'm not here to cause trouble. I just want to be a help. And my wife and I, our whole ministry, we just want to help people. And Spokane Baptist Church is that kind of a church. You just want to help people. Well, I want to help the church today. And the prophet of God, The prophet of God, Elijah, had just had an amazing victory. In the previous chapter and verses, he was doing battle with the prophets of Baal. And he challenged them and he said, listen, he said, let's put up an altar and you call down fire from heaven, and whoever sends the fire, that's the Lord God, that's Jehovah. And the prophets of Baal failed. And so Elijah, he built the altar of the Lord. And then he doused it with water and water and water, barrels of water, till the water was running around it. And then he prayed and called down fire from heaven. And then he slew all the prophets of Baal. Wow, what a victory. God did a miracle. It was tremendous. And then in 1 Kings chapter 19, the man of God, after a great victory, he's tired, he's weary, he hasn't had much sleep. He prayed so fervently that fire came down from heaven. And the men on the mountain were saying this week, praying is hard work. Praying and getting a hold of God and seeing God answer that prayer, that's hard work. And sometimes you go spend 2 or 3 hours, and you should, in prayer, 5 or 6 hours. And there's a transformation that comes where you have a supernatural strength, but it's still very tiring. And preaching is tiring. When you preach a message and you prayed and you've prepared and you've studied and you've prayed that thing hot, and then you preach like your pastor preaches with passion and brokenness. When you're done, you're weary. When you're done, you're weary. And often that's when Satan tries to depress and discourage you. And that's what happened in 1 Kings chapter 19 to the man of God. And Ahab told Jezebel what Elijah had done. Chapter 19, verse 1. And withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not my life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time, thy life. In other words, this woman wanted to kill the preacher, the man of God, Elijah, the prophet of God. Now, wait a minute. Elijah wasn't afraid of 850 false prophets of Baal. But now he's weak. He's spiritually bankrupt because he poured it all into calling down fire from heaven and killing those 850 prophets of Baal. And now he's weak and he's tired. And he runs from one woman. Now, in some ways, that's smart. I've known some women you better run from. And the Bible says in verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Lord, kill me. God, just kill me. I mean, he called down fire from heaven. In his life, he had 8 incredible miracles. Huge miracles. And he's sitting under this tree and he says, God, why don't I just die? He's discouraged. He's depressed. And he said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Verse 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. You know what he needed? He needed some rest. He needed to sleep. He needed something to eat. He needed physical sustenance. And he looked in verse 6, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Notice that. The journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So he needed sleep, he needed drink, he needed water, he needed food. And then we see that he received so much that he was able to go 40 days. In other words, he fasted for the next 40 days, like Jesus did in the wilderness. 40 days. But I want to, and please don't misunderstand me today. I just want to be a help. And I believe the Bible says exhort one another, encourage one another, and praise the Lord for a church that's a church of encouragement. There are 430,000, quote, churches in America. And 98 or 99% of those churches, you can walk in, they don't care who you are, they don't care what you do, they don't care anything about you. And the Scripture says, no man cared for my soul. My wife and I, we've been in some of those churches. They could care less about anybody else because they're just self-absorbed. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. But thank God for Spokane Baptist Church, that's a church of encouragement that loves people. We're going to talk about that in the 10:30 hour. But I want you to notice something here. That the man of God, though he'd seen all these miracles, that God had blessed him so much, the man of God, and by the way, that is a spiritual, scriptural position. The man of God became depressed. Not just discouraged, but depressed. You have a pastor. A pastor is not an occupation. Well, it is for a lot of pastors. It's just an occupation. Like being a plumber or an electrician. It's just an occupation. And they do it every week just to collect their pay. And they don't dare be honest with the church and even resign the church, because then what would they do? Where would their pay come from? And the Bible calls them hirelings. But wait a minute. I believe, because I've watched this church grow, you have a pastor that God chose, and he had a mentor, Pastor Tom Asbury, and God has a timetable, and God has a plan, and God had a plan for Pastor Tom Asbury, and God had a plan that the mantle would go from Pastor Tom to Pastor Josh, just like, by the way, it did from Elijah, who had 8 great miracles. The mantle went to Elisha, and Elisha had 16, twice as many, 16 incredible, miraculous miracles, unbelievable, because the mantle went from Elijah to Elisha. Now listen to me. Your pastor, he loves you, he weeps over you, he prays for you, he studies, he pours his heart out to you. And I love it when somebody goes home and puts on Facebook, "Oh, church was so wonderful today, and Pastor Josh preached such a great message. It was exactly what I needed." Everybody ought to be writing that on Facebook. Instead of how many times the baby threw up. Hey, listen, the man of God, after this great miracle, after this great moving of the Spirit of God, he arose and went for his life. Well, I've had those things in my life. Great victories and great answers to prayer, and then the devil comes along and tempts you. Now I say, the man of God can get discouraged. You find that in verse 3. And the man of God, when discouraged, can make mistakes. In verse 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die." God wasn't done with him. And there's times after your pastor has given himself in counseling people and bearing burdens, and because he's a heart person and his heart has been broken, he has empathy, and he you know, sometimes, and my wife, she can verify this, sometimes it's when you're ministering to people, it's like they got a big vacuum cleaner sucked up to your heart. And you're empty. And that's okay. It's okay because God wants us to pour ourselves out as He did unto death for others. That's the way His ministers ought to be. But then you have to regroup. When we're done with a prayer experience, we're exhausted. And we have to get rest, and we have to get healthy, and we have to go spend time with the Lord and recharge our spiritual batteries so we can jumpstart other people's batteries. Don't think that because your pastor's young and he's strong that he doesn't get discouraged, that he doesn't get tired. And when a man of God is discouraged, he can make mistakes. God, I want to die. I think we need to learn from the angel that ministered to the man of God. To take care of the physical needs. God sent an angel to feed him. And he slept. And God sent an angel twice. That's how important it was. And I believe this. I believe as he needed sleep and he needed food, we as believers need to encourage the pastor by taking care of and meeting the physical needs of the pastor. Now, I have never talked to Pastor Josh about this. We've never discussed anything. I don't know if he gets paid or doesn't get paid. A lot of people want to keep the pastor down. I kid you not. Listen. In our son's church, the church recording off. The church secretary, who's a man, who's a like the office manager, gets paid more than the pastor does. That's what he inherited. And the old senior pastor, he went to the trustees, and he said, "Now, you have my salary at this, and boy, it's a good salary." He said, "Now, Pastor Josh, he doesn't have the years of experience that I've had. So you want to start him low so every year you can raise his pay up." Really? Thanks a lot. So our son just barely gets by when he passes a church that's a wealthy church. That's not right. The Bible says the elder that rules well, and that word elder means pastor, the bishop, the pastor that rules well is worthy of double honor. Double honor. And I don't mean to embarrass your pastor today, and he's sitting on the front row and his ears are probably turning red. But God wants you to take care of your pastor. I'm trying to help you today. I know nothing about how you take care of your pastor. I know you love him. I know you love him. I know you cherish him. I know you respect him. I know that. And afterward, and don't go to the pastor and say, "Did you put him up to that?" Listen, if I offend you today, call Oprah at BR549. Huh? Don't complain to Dr. Gary. Call Dr. Phil. I just want to help you. Do you know that the Bible says that He watches over your soul? Do you know that when you get to heaven, this man, and before that, Pastor Tom, this man, the Bible says, must give an account for your soul. Did he lord it over you? Did he control you? Did he manipulate you? Or did he love you? Did he give you everything he had? Did he study and pray and hear from God? Did he comfort you in your trials and your tribulations? Did he help you? This man, not anybody else in this church right now, is going to give an account for your soul. This man, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And the Bible says that he might do it with joy. Because that's profitable for you. See, the Bible teaches, boy, this is good. Honey, pull up the car. Get the engine running because I'm seeing some people that are... I may have to leave fast. You know, cancel the hotel. Listen, so this man has to give an account for your soul. But you're not a woman. I ain't afraid of you. Just teasing. By the way, thanks for the lariat. It's working good. We had the neighbor's horses came in and I mean did $1,000, $1,061 worth of damage on the hood of our car. And he just gave me a lariat last time we were here. So I missed again. But we can learn from, listen, see, you know, Brother Don is just an incredible guy. And he's a, you know, he's a financial genius. But it's not Brother Don's responsibility to take care of the pastor of this church. And don't be presumptuous and think, oh, Brother Don will take care of him. Don't do that. Be sensitive to the Spirit. And by the way, and so when you get to heaven, if he gives an account of you, they were a blessing. They were a blessing. They were wonderful. They never caused trouble in the church. Then the Bible says that's profitable for you. And if he gives an account and said, boy, they were a pain in the neck, that's unprofitable for you in heaven. That's what the Bible says. You check it out. 1 Corinthians 9:11 says this, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. Carnal things meaning food, meaning raiment. In my life, I've bought suits for my pastor and for preachers. And the Bible says, given it shall be given unto you. And because I've given suits to my pastor and to preachers, God's given me suits. I bought vehicles for pastor. Hand them the keys and the title. And God has given me vehicles. Because what you sow, you reap. You sow vehicles, you reap vehicles. You sow suits, you reap suits. You sow encouragement, you receive encouragement. You sow joy, you receive joy. You sow encouragement and peace and joy, the fruit of the Spirit, then that's what you reap. So, I don't want to embarrass your pastor today. Romans 15:27, it has pleased him verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles had been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things, to take care of the pastor. And in verse 7, why? Because the journey is too great for thee. Do you know the journey is too great for your pastor? It's too great. The journey. Your pastor has a vision for this church. He has a vision for soul winning. He has a vision for the children. He has a vision for the Sunday school. He has a vision for vacation Bible school. He has a vision that God has given him, and the journey of that vision is too great. He can't do it without you. And we're all called together in the body, fitted together to all do our job. We all can't be thumbs. That's why we all have different spiritual gifts and different temperaments and different personalities. And as we are filled with the Spirit and use our gifts for the glory of God, it all fits together in a church. But the journey is too great for your pastor. It's too great. The pastor has a vision. The future ministries of the church, the soul winning program, the Sunday school. You know, someday you're going to have, I'm not even going to say that because I don't want to depress anybody, that you're going to have a bigger building. Second Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9, you need not turn there because you know it, but for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of him whose heart is perfect towards him. What happened to Elijah when he got run down physically and he was exhausted and he became discouraged and then he became depressed? He lost his vision. God, take me to heaven. God wasn't done with Elijah yet. But the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Listen, I believe your pastor's heart is perfect towards God. Now, is he a perfect man? No. You know, God is no respecter of persons. Like they say, he puts his pants on one leg at a time. I tried this. You ever tried to put both legs on at the same time? Man, you can't do it. I've tried. Anybody else try that? I was wondering if I was the only dumb one here. Sorry. You shouldn't have raised your hand. Never raise your hand in my messages. Even my wife knows that. Hey, listen. To show himself strong on our behalf. Listen, God, there's so much that God wants to do with this church, with you. Listen, I have not seen, ear has not heard what God has in store for them that wait upon him. Wow, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because God gives a man a vision and his heart is perfect towards God. And then there's a great work, a great journey. And you get to be part of it. And you listen, you won't always agree with your pastor. My wife doesn't always agree with me. She's wrong on some things. I don't always agree with me. Do you? I don't. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm schizophrenic, and I am too. I got a mean letter. I was speaking to 650 educators down at just outside of Disneyland, and I said, "Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm schizophrenic, and I am too." And I got a mean letter. How dare you make fun of the mentally ill? I wanted to write her back. How do you know I'm not mentally ill? And the truth is, we're all schizophrenic. Did you know that? We're all multiple personality disorder. There's two people. If you're born again, there's the old man and the new man. There's the old sin nature and the new nature. Bubba Joe told me that. The evangelist. Huh. It's a great work. It's a great work. And our pastor, your pastor, is taking a great journey. And your pastor, day by day, is heading towards God. Heading towards God. And Jesus looked upon the multitudes and he wept because they were as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus wept because they were sheep without a shepherd. They had no spiritual leadership. Christ is the head of the church. He's the great shepherd. The pastor is the under-shepherd. That he's following Christ. And so he's rallying people to follow him as he's following Christ. That's what Paul said. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Whoa, that's arrogant, Paul. How could you say that? Ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Because Paul realized shepherding, spiritual leadership. Come on, follow me as we follow Christ. That's what your pastor's doing. Not to lord it over the church. Not for a selfish agenda and selfish gain. And listen, the pastor, I want to tell you, I know what I'm talking about. He is attacked from all angles. He's attacked in all aspects. He's attacked in all areas of his life. There's struggles within his inner circle. There's struggles from without, and there's struggles from within himself. Listen, pastoring is the hardest job I've ever done in my life. I love being an evangelist. Love them and leave them. create problems and leave. That's what we evangelists do. But the pastor has to stay. Yeah. And love the church of God. And help them and counsel them and weep with them and laugh with them and encourage them and be all things to all men, Paul said. It's the hardest job I've ever done in my life. My old dear friend that pastored over 60 years and pastored two churches at one time, one in Washington and one in Greeley, Colorado, pastored them both at one time and would travel back and forth. He said to me with tears, towards the end of his life, pastoring is the most thankless job on the face of the earth. Why? Because the devil's against the preacher. The devil's against the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We'll look at that. But wait a minute. Satan hates the church and wants to destroy it. I've got to close here. I don't get excited. Remember, I have three closes and four finallys. And one in conclusion. But I'm circling the field. We're going to land here in the next 4 minutes. All these things, all these pressures and stress and problems seek to take him away from the focus on Jesus. And so you and I need to exhort him. Exhort the pastor to remain faithful. Preacher, it's okay. It's going to be okay. Just be faithful. It's going to be all right. We should exhort the pastor. Pastor, just be strong in the Lord. That isn't that what God told Joshua and Moses? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's going to be okay, preacher. I mean, this is a great journey. This is a big thing. And it's too hard for any man. So God gives a body of believers. You know, he's exhorting and strengthening you all the time. Well, what about us strengthening him? We should be an encouragement to pastor. Keep his eyes on the Lord. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. We were around the campfire talking with all these men of God from around the country at the prayer experience this week, and they started talking about Brooklyn and, all this stuff. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I know all that's going on. But turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And all week long on the mountain and climbing the mountain, I had to exhort those men, wait a minute, refocus. Wait a minute, refocus. Somebody tells a joke and that's fine, but wait a minute, refocus. Refocus on Jesus. Refocus on Jesus. Refocus on Jesus. And when the pastor gets discouraged and when he loses his way and when he's tired, we need to take care of him and say, preacher, refocus on Jesus, and I'll refocus with you. And we come to church on Sunday to refocus on Jesus. But wait a minute, we need to refocus on Monday. All day long, refocus on the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Help the preacher do that. Preacher, keep your heart perfect towards the Lord. God promises to bless a humble, contrite heart. Keep the focus, preacher. Pastor, I'm praying for you. Don't come up to the pastor and say, pastor, I'm for you, even if they're against you. Somebody's against me? Our Josh is having a great revival in his church. They had to extend it a week. It's unbelievable how it's going. But then, there's some, oh boy, with the great blessings and the great revival came great criticism. So just to, and he's got family visiting, he's got family in the church, and I said, I'm talking to him, and we're praying for him on the mountain, and I said, well, Josh, I said, let me ask you, has your family all been out to the revival, and are they supporting you? He says, yeah, is there something you heard that I don't know? And I didn't even mean it that way, and his family's just right there and so supportive, and I thank God for that. But that one little thing put a little doubt in his mind for a second. Yeah. It's important to say a word of encouragement, to show appreciation to the pastor, to meet his physical needs, to lift him up in prayer. I've bought shoes for pastors, ties, shirts, suits, cars. Cars. When I needed a car. So I gave the car. Bought a car, gave it to the pastor. And God gave me more than one car. It's the law of sowing and reaping. I have no idea, honestly. I have no idea. And why is this a revival message? I don't know. I'm just obeying the Lord today. You have one of the top premier young pastors in America that God is going to do maybe one of the greatest works in the Spokane or Washington or the Northwest. I don't know. I believe that in my heart of hearts. I've said that for several years. I've said that to Pastor Tom. But don't think he can go it alone. And don't think he can go without a pat on the back and an encouragement. And don't think that, you know, he's got heavy burdens. A seasoned old pastor said this. He said, you know, he stands at the front when people come down and he says, uh-oh, here comes another problem. Why? Because people, we have problems. And we need help. And Spokane Baptist Church is a hospital for the soul. It's a hospital for people with problems. And we all have problems. Be an encouragement. And do this. If you haven't done it, make a commitment. Pastor Josh, I'm going to take the journey with you. One of the greatest things that I've ever heard in my life, personally, is when Pastor Josh said it. Pastor Tom Asbury's funeral, Gary Knuff was Pastor Tom's best friend. And I miss him. I wish we could talk like we did. We'd talk every week or 2 weeks, share our hearts together. But you know my prayer is? That I can develop that kind of relationship with Pastor Josh. That I could be a best friend. I've told our Josh, who is a man of God, I mean, wow. He's almost exactly like your Josh. His heart, his passion, his love for the Lord, his love for people. I've told our Josh several times, though you're on different parts of the state, I hope that you and Josh Tucker can become best friends in the ministry. Hey, church, let's take this journey together. Let's follow the God-given leadership that He's given us. We won't always understand. You know, if He'll keep His eyes on the Lord, and we'll keep our eyes on the Lord together, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. Oh, listen. What God could do with a heart that's perfect towards Him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of Him whose heart is perfect towards Him. Let's help Pastor keep his heart perfect towards God. And then let's keep our hearts perfect towards God. And we can see some mighty miracles and mighty answers to prayer and mighty things while we're still here on this earth. Wow. All right. Lord, I don't know. Why did you give me this message? Why did you tell me to do this in Sunday school today? I don't know. But Lord, I did it. And I love you, Lord. And I want to obey you. And I love Pastor Josh. And I love this church. And Lord, I don't want to hurt him or hurt this church in any way. But oh God, I believe in my heart that I've obeyed you. So please take it. And break it, and pray over it, and let this simple message somehow be a help to these sweet people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.